I invite you to turn in your scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 12. If you're using the Pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 277. Our pastor has been doing a series of sermons through 1 Samuel and going through the events in chronological order through the book. I want to pick up on one of those events and focus not so much on the flow of events as our pastor has done for us. I want to focus on the concept of prayer as Samuel calls us to that in this passage that we have here before us. Both this morning and this afternoon, we will look at prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 12, picking up the reading at verse 16. Now therefore, says Samuel, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking yourselves for a king. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Will you focus your attention especially on verses 23 and 24? Moreover, as for me, says Samuel, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. That's the focus, really, but I just want to read on here. And I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer has always been at the center and the heart of the spiritual journey that God's people have as they go through life. The focus of prayer comes to us especially from Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, provided the example of the importance of prayer in his life. He was God, and he was man. And if he, being God, had a need to be in prayer to his Father, how much more you and I, who go through many difficult challenges in life and who are impacted by the sin so that we fall into the temptation which Christ never did, how much more ought we then also to be living a life of prayer? Now, last year in October, I also preached on prayer, and I preached there more about the importance of prayer and how the congregation is called upon to pray for those who are in ministry, the elders and the minister, and those who are involved in ministry around the world, and how those who are in ministry are also called upon to be in prayer for their own ministries. I know you remember that sermon. You always remember the sermons, right? Well, here we're going to take a bit of a different focus. We're going to look at the reality of the Christian life in which we struggle with keeping prayer alive and well in the life of the Christian. There are those who have a prayer life that is healthy and ongoing, and it is an example for many. There are other brothers and sisters who struggle with prayer in their life. The discipline of prayer is something we are called upon to develop. And so this morning and this afternoon, I want to look at the foundation for all of this morning. And then this afternoon, about what this prayerlessness is. We're going to look at the disease, prayerlessness as a disease, and then we're going to look at the cure. And this afternoon, we're going to be looking at a list of excuses that we make for not having the prayer life that we are called upon to have, 10 of them that we will have as a part of that. What is it that keeps us from having an active prayer life? I want you to take this opportunity today to review your prayer life. For some, it will mean building on a prayer life that you have had as an individual. For others, it might mean getting started, something that you have not done well at all. For others, it may be a reflection of, say, there was a time when it was going well. Now is not that time for me, and I need to get back on track. That's God's call for us today, to analyze what it is that keeps us from developing this life of prayer. The fact is, the spiritual life of the believer, of the follower of Christ, will never rise above their prayer life. The prayer life is like a barometer, if you will, of how the spiritual life is. And the same is true of the congregation. The life and ministry and spiritual maturity of a congregation will never rise above the maturity level of the spiritual life of the members that make up the congregation. It's how God designed the church to be. So the call is important to us. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel and God's people are at a point of transition. They've had 12 judges, and a period of the judges is over. In the chapters leading up to this, we already have the request of the people to have a king. It's identified as being a sin to ask for a king. But King Saul is on the throne at this time. First king. And things are not going well, as you will recall from the series of messages that we have had from our pastor. And we know that at this point then, Samuel is reminding his people, and he's coming to the close of his own life. This is a part of his farewell message. He wants to leave some final thoughts and a final message for God's people as God is about to call him home to him. So I want to look with you, first of all, at the disease of prayerlessness and then the cure for the disease. What is prayerlessness, and how can we understand that? Very simply, perhaps, we might identify it as a spiritual condition in which one prays less than he or she ought to, and less than we know that we should. But more importantly, that one is praying less than what God, our Father, desires of us. Or not at all. Not praying at all, perhaps. If we look at the life of Christians today, statistics show that the average Christian today prays less than 4 minutes a day. Wow. Do we wonder why our world is in the state that it is? If Christians are not being more intentional about bringing the needs of our world and our own needs before the Lord, intentional about praising Him for what He is doing in our own lives and how He has been involved over history. But is it any wonder then that we go through the struggles that we go through? Samuel introduces the concept of prayer here for the people with a very tangible example. In verses 16 to 18, he presents the power and the potential of prayer in the life of God's people. This is the time of the wheat harvest. There's no rain. During the time of the harvest, typically it's May or June, time of the year in the Middle East when they gather the wheat. And that also is, as you know, the time in which God chose to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit come down on the earth. In Acts, we read about that in Acts chapter 2, Penta, 5 times 10, cost, Pentecost. But Samuel has a lesson for his people. And he prays for rain. And at the conclusion of his prayer, the thunder and the rain come, and the people are really impressed. We read in verse 18 that they greatly feared the Lord and Samuel, who was the prophet of the Lord. This kind of an event would be very similar to perhaps a time in which we would be going through 7 or 8 weeks of drought right at a critical time. We call the congregation together for a prayer service to pray for the harvest and pray for rain. And at the conclusion of one of the prayers for that, all of a sudden you hear the thunder and the rain. Wouldn't you be wowed by that? Samuel is identifying that God is in control of all things and showing the power of this God. The people have forgotten that. The people were looking around them and they didn't want the judges. They wanted to be just like all of the nations around them. They wanted to have a king like everybody else because they were depending more on the king than they were on God. And we know where that brought them, particularly with Saul, as we know of some of the events that take place with that prayerlessness. So what really is it? It's more than just neglect. Oh, it is that. And it's more than just regret, as though we might say, well, it would be nice if I would pray a little more. I really should. The fact of the matter is that when we have different things going on in our lives, marvelous good things and not such great things going on in our lives, burdens and struggles and so on, if we are not in prayer to God, then we are dealing with that in some other way that takes our focus off of God and onto other, whatever idols we might have, that would be that which we would focus on. My own willpower, I can get through this. Can you? By yourself? A lack of prayer demonstrates the sin of idolatry, because we are focusing obviously on other things and other ways in which we hope to overcome whatever it is that is happening in our lives that may not be going so well, instead of turning to the only one who can do anything about it, as Samuel calls his people to that. It's more than just regret. It is more than just neglect. It is a sin not to have a vital life of prayer individually and as a congregation. Samuel verse 23, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. That I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Prayerlessness is sinful. It is an example of sin because it demonstrates that we are not depending on God as we ought. But we are distracting our attention on other things in our life. It's a disease. It's a disease. Oh, not a physical disease. We know that with physical diseases, what do? When you have a physical disease? You let it go, ignore it. Try that. We know what the result of that would be. It just gets progressively worse, doesn't it? We need to deal with it. Go to the doctors, take medicine, go through a therapy session of some kind of medical therapy of some kind. Add to that, or preclude that, really, with prayer to God. In the middle of that, we need to address our physical diseases. But we need even more to address the spiritual disease of prayerlessness. Because if we don't address it, then things will go badly. And they will go from badly to worse in our own lives. That's what we read in verse 25. If you persist in doing evil, or if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. If you still do wickedly by not praying and following the Lord, by focusing your attention on this king that you wanted instead, who had, by the way, says Samuel to the people, hasn't done so well for you now, has he? That's what prayerlessness is. But let's look at the cause and later on the result. What is the cause of prayerlessness? How do we get caught up into this pattern of prayerlessness? Again, to focus on it being sin as the root of it in verse 19 and 20. And all the people said to Samuel when they recognized, right after they saw the power of prayer, they said, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. They are feeling guilty because of the way things have gone. Guilt is good. A feeling of guilt is good. It's like pain. When I cut myself, I feel the pain. I go, whoa, what was that? I better do something about this. It's a sign of something's not right. And Samuel presents this prayerlessness, this walking away and taking their focus off of God, and the people are pricked in their hearts. And that's why we have in verse 19 and 20, oh, pray to the Lord for us. We have done badly. We have sinned. Oh, we have such a tendency, don't we, to blame our sins on other people. Well, it's the way I was brought up. I don't live a life of prayer because that's the way I was brought up. We think of all kinds of excuses. We'll look at that this afternoon. Now, some people feel as though they cannot pray. Does that mean we're out of God's will? Prayerlessness is not the last word in the life of the Christian, just like sin is not the last word. There's a remedy found in turning to Jesus Christ. Because we belong to him. Verse 22. Do not turn aside after empty things, that is idolatry and so on. Oops, so that's verse 21. Verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. God has established a relationship with you as his people. Samuel is reminding God's people at this time about that relationship that God has. And the cause of our prayerlessness is when we ignore that relationship that we have, the responsibility that we have as God's people. We may let the Lord down, and we do, and that's the cause of prayerlessness. We focus less on prayer because we're not really thinking about God at all, and so we just don't even bother to pray anymore. But the wonderful promise is here that God says, I have a relationship with you. You may let me down, but I will never let you down. We go through different periods of our lives, ups and downs in our spiritual life. Don't despair. God's people here did the right thing by asking Samuel to help them restore their relationship with God. Ask God to help you get back on track. And if you find that you cannot even talk to God, then look to a brother or a sister who can help to walk you through it, your pastor, your elder. Cause of prayerlessness is taking our eyes off of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us prayer and set the example for prayer, taking our eyes off of him and putting it on anything else that we hope to use as a cure for the ills and problems and struggles of our life. And then what's the result? Well, verse 21 is pretty clear about that, and that's what I was just reading earlier. Do not turn aside after empty things, that is, the idols that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. The result of prayerlessness is the fact that we turn to other things and things go worse for us, and it can have eternal results if we do not restore that in the life of the Christian. The result of prayerlessness affects everything in our lives. It affects your relationships with your friends. It affects your relationship. A spouse will sense a distance from you. Parents will notice that their children don't talk to them quite like they used to because they're not living a life in communion with God. Children will lose their sense of security and stability because they're not focusing their attention on God. That's what happens when we live a life of prayerlessness. But there's a cure. That's the good news. And with this cure, I want to look at some of the symptoms and then a request for help and a remedy, and then the renewal that takes place as a part of that. Does all of this begin to sound familiar to you? We all struggle with it. I struggle with it. Each one of us has periods in which we struggle and we need to keep ourselves focused. Some of you might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable by hearing this challenge about prayerlessness in our lives. That's okay. Discomfort, I would suggest, is the first part of the cure for your problem. Because if you're feeling uncomfortable, God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart and convincing you something's not right. Repair what is wrong. First thing we need to do then is to recognize the symptoms of our spiritual condition and not go through all of the excuses. I'll read the excuses that we'll be looking at this afternoon. I don't have the gift of praying. Sometimes God seems far away. I feel like God isn't listening. It doesn't seem to help. God doesn't seem to understand. I don't need to pray. I'm too busy to pray. Nothing seems to change. God doesn't seem to care. I've gone too far for prayer to do any good. Sound like you? Those are the symptoms, and they deserve a serious analysis. We'll look at that this afternoon. We need help to get better. You can't do it yourself. You need, first of all, God. So I suppose the quickest thing for us to be able to say, well, whenever we have a problem, you need to pray to God. Well, that's a bit going circular, though, isn't it? Because you're having a problem with prayer. How can you turn to God in prayer if you're having a problem with prayer? Then turn to someone else who can guide you, mentor you, walk you through the struggles and the challenges till you are at the point where you can indeed turn to God in prayer. God will convict us of the sin in our lives, of prayerlessness. The cure involves getting help. Just like we would if we had a physical disease, if we are ridden with a disease or some kind of infirmity in our bodies, if you're not a medical professional, you will not get better. We need help. We cannot do it ourselves. And so if we are unhealthy in our spiritual lives, we need to look to others. Talk to a friend. Talk to your mom or dad, your grandparent. Talk to a mature spiritual member of the congregation who can help you. They're there. They want to help. Your elder, your pastor. They want to help you during this time that you are struggling with, because there is a remedy. All is not hopeless with prayerlessness. There is a remedy. With a physical disease, sometimes it can be too late for a cure to take place. That can happen. With the disease, spiritual disease of prayerlessness, it is never too late. Never too late, because God reminds us, as he has with Samuel, that we belong to him. We are the apple of his eye. He's watching over us. Even when we are not paying attention to him, he is always, always, always paying attention to us. And he's listening. Listening for us. In order to find out how to get out of this, sometimes you need to even go back and determine, how did this all start? Was it because I purchased something and I'm focusing all my attention on that and forgetting about God? Is it because my job has been too busy that I've been losing my focus on God? Is it because I've been so interested in going to the beach in the summer that I haven't been going to church, and so I'm losing my interest in God? How did this get started? Ask yourself, what was it that started my drift away from God so that I cannot even pray to him anymore? Bring that before the Lord. Bring it before the Lord. And submit to his plan for you to overcome that in your life. Verse 24 reminds us of that. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. We serve a great big God, and he can do it. He has done it for those from the Old Testament and New Testament and the post-New Testament times till the present. He has. He's doing it today. And based on what he has done and what he is doing today, we know that he will do it tomorrow and in the future as well, because that's his promise, and God never breaks his promise with us. The problem stems from your relationship with the Lord when you're dealing with prayerlessness. That's the heart of it. our relationship with Jesus Christ is not, as the disciple of Jesus Christ, is not what it ought to be. The focus is on him. That example of prayer. It is to him, through him, that we are praying to God the Father. And if that's where the problem is, that's where the answer is. That is where the problem is. And so that is where the answer is, in Jesus Christ. And this calls for then a time of refreshing renewal in your own spiritual life. Some of you have had an active prayer life in the past and need to get back on track. This is a call to get back on track. Some have never really started an active, solid life of prayer. Not just because you are young chronologically in age, but because you have not developed as a Christian. You are a young Christian yet. You are still learning that. You still need to get at that. Get at it. Look to Jesus for the strength you need. God's Holy Spirit gives us the gift of a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we focus on the different things going on in your life, if your prayer life is alive and well, here's your opportunity to thank the Lord and help others whom you know are struggling with it. If your prayer life is dull and drab, here's your opportunity, your call. God is calling you to liven it up, to get back on track. If you have no prayer life at all, God's call is for you to meet Jesus Christ. Face to face, his arms are open, so that you can begin a more intense, intentional relationship with him and begin that life of prayer and communion with God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, prayer is a challenge for us. It is our means of communion with you, and yet we recognize that there are times in which we do not actively pray and live a life of prayer that you call us to. For those who have an active life of prayer, we praise you, O Lord, and help them to be able to mentor others in the same. For those who have gotten off the track of an active life of prayer, we pray that you would help them to refocus their attention away from those things that have distracted them and back onto your Son, Jesus Christ. And for those who have not yet begun the walk with your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that you would address them to and help them to come to you, accept the promises that you have given to them, and begin that prayer life together. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.